Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you getting hyped?
I'm hyped.
Bam, bam, bam.
And the Eagles need to get hyped. The defense needs to get hyped again.
No, they just need to play better.
Well, that's true. I agree with that.
Need to play better.
I agree with that. All right, welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Ziller. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll hear Nick Sirianni on with the morning show today. His response about all of this as his team tries to bounce back from their second two-game losing streak of the season. Big one Monday night against the Los Angeles Chargers. By the way, Herbert had hand surgery yesterday, so we'll find out in the next couple days if he's going to give it a shot or not Monday night. But let's unpack this. Nick Sirianni yesterday, listen to this response, and let's see what we can glean from this, because he says he's not making any changes to the offensive hierarchy and who's calling plays and all that. But, you know, that doesn't always mean that's true. Let's hear Nick Sirianni yesterday and unpack this answer.
Obviously, we're evaluating everything, and now you don't have as much time as you have in a normal bye week, but you know, it's a mini bye. And so, you know, everything was being evaluated. You know, we'll think about some different things that we want to do. You know, as all over the place, you know, scheme, everything. But I don't think it benefits us for me to share in particular what that is. Just know this, we want to get this thing fixed, you know, more than anybody, right? We live it, breathe it. And involved in it every waking second of our lives. So that's what we're working on right now.
So Hugh, he says, you know, they're not making any changes. He said many times over and over, we're going to hear his conversation with the morning show in a few minutes where he's asked again about Kevin Petullo staying as the offensive play caller. But he also says there, if we made a significant change, I'm not going to tell you anyway. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that? Do you think there actually could have been a change and he's just not sharing?
Well, it leaves a lot to be wondered when you say stuff like that, because it's like, okay, well, why would you say it like that? See, this is where we are with this team. We are recklessly speculating about certain things that have happened, because now, like, players are guarded in the way that they answer questions. We were on with Tanner McKee last night. Shout out Tanner McKee, the quarterback of the Players Lounge, and Elliot asked him a question, and he looked at Elliot and he was like, what do you mean? Like, he was looking for clarity, because we are at the point now where we're trying to glean and figure out what's going on with this football team, because nobody's saying anything. There's a disconnect somewhere. And, you know, for a lot of people, they think it's Kevin Petullo. And by the way, those fools that egged his house, y'all picked the right ones.
Grow up, man. Come on.
So we all feel like we know what the problem is or who the problem is. And I can tell you, that's not the case. It's not just one thing. And we've been talking about this forever. The bottom line is you need to fix it. And right now, what I think Coach Sirianni is saying is that he's going to look at everything and see what he can tweak to help get the best results in this situation.
Yeah, like I want to take him on his word, and I imagine he's probably telling the truth. He hasn't changed. He's not going to change the play caller. But, you know, a couple of years ago, he was asked during the week they demoted Desai, you know, if you'd consider changing any coaching responsibility. He said no. He said no.
he said hell no.
Then they were. In fact, if my memory serves, of that week, they ran Desai out there to do his regular press conference as the DC.
And then they got him.
And then they had cut his legs out from under him, and Patricia was in charge of
calling
the defense.
They cut out from under
him? Cut something. Whatever they did. So, I don't know.
Relax.
I mean,
Boss been here a few times.
I imagine Petullo's going to do his press conference. Curious. What is that, tomorrow, today, whatever that is. Doesn't mean he's going to call the defense. I'll call the offense on Monday. Hugh, who's calling the offense Monday, if you had a guess
Kevin
right now?
Petullo.
Are you positive?
Yes.
I think he is too, but I'm not positive.
I'm not positive.
Sirianni's got a history here of, you know.
No, I hear you, and you might be right, but the reason why I say that is this. And allow me to recklessly speculate.
Oh, here we go.
I will allow you.
Because if Kevin Petullo ain't calling plays, he's telling on everybody. He's a snitch.
Ooh.
He's snitching. He
really?
Snitching.
You think so?
He's the one. Mm. He's the one that.
I think he has to go down gracefully.
Nah, he ain't going down. Like, look at that man's, look at his press picture. Do he look like he going down gracefully?
Yes. I got to tell you, I think when this season's over, especially if Petullo's out of here afterwards, I think we owe the guy a collective, I'm sorry.
Why?
We've really been hard on this dude.
I'm not hard on him. I am recklessly.
Add it up. The eggs in the house yesterday.
Okay, that's not on me.
No, I didn't say you. I mean a collective we. You got the eggs in the house. You came on the air after week three and said that Jalen took play calling from in the second half of the Rams game.
Okay, I did.
You
that.
Said he looks like a snitch.
He don't look like a snitch.
You did kind of say, yeah.
He's become the punching bag for everyone.
I asked you a question. See, like, listen, accountability on this show. Does he look like a snitch? Does he look like if you take his lunch, he going to tell the teacher?
Mm-hmm. No.
I ain't asked you, Kyle.
Okay.
I'm asking Joe.
You want me to care? You want me to be honest? Is this a safe space? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
I think if stuff hit the fan, he would sing like a canary.
He's telling. Yeah. Kevin Petullo telling.
Mm. I don't agree. I don't get that vibe from him.
I get it. He telling. So you don't want to take play calling from him if he doesn't feel like it's his problem.
We can't worry about him snitching. We got games to win.
About to write a book.
Well, hold on. Snitching might be useful at this point.
You're going to write a tell-all.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, we appreciate the snitching.
We're here trying to gather info.
Aren't you the insider of the year?
Snitching. I'm not saying. I'm not snitching. I mean, I recklessly speculate.
You kind of snitch every day when you come on the airwaves.
Drop these insider nuggets.
Being an insider is basically snitching.
It is.
I recklessly speculate.
But you recklessly ear hustle, too.
I do. And then you snitch. Well, I don't snitch. I say, I heard and did what y'all say. Well, I don't know who said what. So that's different.
Insider/reporter is a professional term for a snitch.
No.
I think
I'm an ear hustler. Like, I hear conversations, and I don't marry them to anybody. I just hear stuff.
All right, let's listen to conversations. Specifically, Sirianni, morning show. Here was that earlier today.
The 8-4 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Well, hi, Nick, an awful lot, obviously, to say the least, going on. And before we get to X's and O's and all that stuff, I'm just curious how you're holding up with it all, because there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of stuff. How are you on the emotional edge with everything going on these days?
Yeah, when you don't listen to the chatter and when you don't pay attention to it and you make sure that you're trying to work for the next game, that doesn't affect you. So, we're getting up off the ground. You know, you got two options when you get knocked down like we got on Friday. You can lay down and let everyone try to feel bad for yourself, or you get the heck up and keep fighting. All we know to do is fight, and so we're up. We're excited about a new opportunity. Getting the players back in here today after they got some rest, and excited to get some of these things corrected and then move on to the next game.
Hey, Nick, the word execution is being said by a lot of coaches and players lately when speaking publicly, referencing the offense. You know, you hear we have to execute better. And I see that word execute as code for players have to play better, whether it's not jumping off sides or anything. When do you consider changing who gets to play if they don't play better?
Yeah, it's everybody has to execute better. Players, coaches, all of us. And we always put the guys in the game that we think they're going to be able to go out there and execute the best for each and individual play. And that's thought about with every play that you go over and everything that you do. And so sometimes that's through different personnel. Sometimes that's taking one guy out, putting another guy in for one of those plays. but we constantly think about that. I have a lot of faith in the players and the coaches in here, and we're working like crazy to get things going the right way. Hasn't happened yet. I mean, we've had elements of it, but you know, obviously the last game, and you know, whenever you lose two in a row, you know, it shows itself. And even when you win and you're not playing to your standard, but we're constantly thinking about everything and how we get better.
Coach, you said you're sticking with Kevin Pitullo as the play caller, and his performance on game day gives us as fans concern. What gives you the confidence that he's still the right guy for that job, and how do you respond to fans who vandalized Kevin's house early Saturday morning?
Yeah, you know, obviously, like I've said, in the greatest team sport there is, when things are going well, it's never just because one person. And when things are going bad, it's never just about one person. Obviously I spent a lot more time with Kevin than ever, you know, and the coaches and the players than I know that you guys get to outside of that. And you watch the body of work of your daily process, how you call the game. Like I said, if I thought it was just one thing, then, you know, sometimes when you think it's just one thing, you're able to do different things, but, you know, and make changes, but that's not the case. And that's not how I feel with that. No comment about the vandalism or anything like that. I don't want to get into that. But just know that we're working like crazy to get it going better. And you know, had a little bit of time this week to, you know, reevaluate some of the things that we were doing and how we can get better off of that. And, you know, we've been in a little bit of a, hey, we win four in a row, we lose two in a row. We then win four in a row, we lose two in a row. Ready to get back up and go from there.
You know, Nick, I just want to tell you, and I understand the no comment in that you don't want to sort of get into a war of words with fans, so to speak. I just want you to know from our standpoint, we have expressed today absolute disgust with the action of those individuals. We think it's disgraceful. And we just want you to know that we have...
There's
the back
no
of you, your coaching staff, your team, and all good citizens when something nonsensical like that happens. So I want to express that to you. And
I appreciate that.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
Nick, Jalen, obviously, there have been some reports that have come out on him. One is that he doesn't want to run as much this year. And I'm curious, when these things get said, and it can't be easy on him, some of the reports are negative in nature. Do you sit down with Jalen, and I know you do on all sorts of topics, but do you specifically address these types of reports with him and sometimes dissect where they may come from and how he can best handle it, both within the locker room and as a public figure that has to go out there once a week and play a game?
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I'll say is Jalen will do anything. I think Jalen has proven that he'll do anything he needs to do to win each and every game. And if that means running, he'll run. And if that means throwing it or handing it to Saquon 20 times, he'll do that. And if that means throwing it 50 times, he'll do that. And so that's one thing I can say. You know, I don't want to downplay anything that anybody hears, like with reports, but like we are not focused on that. Like, so it's not like, hey, this report was out, let's Jalen and I have a conversation about it. Like, when you're totally focused on what you have to do and not focused on anything else, then those things don't affect you, and that's how we have to live. Because as you guys know, there's different reports of everything out there. Like this report is out there. This report's out there. Like. If we involved ourselves in all those things, like I wouldn't have time to do anything else. Like,
yeah.
And so, you know, we're in a constant communication about everything, and that's why it's so important that you go through your process and you talk through everything and you talk through the game plan, you talk through what you can do better, what you can't, what you did really well. And so we're in constant communication about that stuff.
Coach, you told us in September that this team's identity is that of a physical running team. And we're 22nd in rush yards a game. We're 24th in yards per rush. And especially considering the windy conditions, you know, two of the last three games, it's getting cold. Why is this team so far from where was initially intended? You know, that physical running offensive team with five games to go.
Yeah, obviously we want to be able to run it and be able to have our play action and stuff like that off of that. And you know, right now our execution and our game plan and our way we're coaching it, everything needs to get better. Again, it's hard for me to say. Of course, I have ideas of what, you know, some of the things that we have to do better. But obviously, that's not something that. And I love, I really respect the job that everybody has to do in the media, but it's also my job to keep things in house, not give things to, you know, the opponent that we play in the upcoming weeks. And so we have thoughts there, but again, it does. And I know I sound like a broken record here, and it's like, oh man, he keeps saying this. Like, it isn't just ever one thing of what needs to get better. And it's the same thing when you're playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one thing there either.
All right.
And so, you know, that's we know we have to get that part of our game rolling. And that's not like, and I'm not sharing any real breaking information there. Like, teams that are well-balanced are usually the teams that do, you know, that do well, that they can run and pass. Whenever you're a one-dimensional team, that's not good for any team there.
Not at all.
And so, you know, so we always want to be there and one will help the other. We know that. So if we can get that going, then our pass game will get going better and vice versa. And that's how we feel.
And then the discipline is an issue. You know, 91 penalties this season. That makes us the fifth most penalized team in the NFL. That's just behind the Giants, who have 92 penalties thrown against them. Why are we still so penalized?
Yeah, that's obviously something that we work on constantly, and understanding the rules, playing within our fundamentals, you know, not having any penalties that you can control on your own. Some thoughts of how we need to get better on that. And again, like I've said with penalties before, sometimes it's something that, you know, is a fundamental issue, right? When you go out there and play, and sometimes it's, hey, we weren't in position to succeed as players based off of what we did as coaches, and they're fighting against it, and they got a hard fundamental to be able to do. And some of these happen in the heat of the battle. The ones you're trying to eliminate are the pre-snap ones, right? The ones you're trying to eliminate are the post whistle ones, because that to me is something that you can focus on and really take, you know, really can control more than anything else. And those are ones that, you know, we've had a couple of those and that have hurt us throughout the season. And those are the ones that we have to clean those ones up. You know, we had three of those in the game the other day. We were able to overcome those, but it was still, you can't put it that way. You can't look at it and be like, oh, we overcame this, so it's now, no, because you don't know the one that you're not going to be able to overcome. So controlling the things that you can control, and some of those penalties do happen in the heat of the game, you know, for different reasons.
Nick Sirianni with us, as he is every Tuesday at this time. Nick, the thing that shocked me the most the last two games is the defense, frankly, because, you know, you go back three and four games ago, those two great victories, Detroit and Green Bay. A lot of us thought maybe the defense was back to being the best in football, certainly amongst the very best in football. And so I wonder, with the defense not playing as well, do you worry about the D becoming emotionally worn down from carrying such a heavy burden through now 3 months of this season? Has that affected their performance?
No, I don't. You know, this team is intertwined, and this team doesn't. Neither side wants to let each other down, because they spend so much time together, and they do, you know, genuinely like each other, which is a huge thing on a team. You know, I think it's just a matter of, we all have to be more consistent. Coaches, players, offense, defense, special teams, like, all of us need to be more consistent, right? And we know how much room for growth that we have. And, you know, with everything, when we know we have the right guys in this building, and we're sitting here at 8-4, but obviously coming off of two losses in a row, But we know how much we have the ability to play better, coach better, and, you know, we're excited about that. So I think what, again, I'll be back with the players here today. But I've, you know, I've talked to a lot of guys, and everyone's excited to get back to work and get going. I don't think, you know, we don't have to act how anybody else acts except for in this building, right? We don't have to, you know, feel down because, you know, someone else feels down, or, you know, worry about something because someone else is worrying about. We have to go to work and lock in and focus on the things we need to do. And that's being tough, detailed, and together, and look forward to doing that today.
And, Coach, what's the number one thing you need to do to rehabilitate the culture of the team, you know, coming off of those back-to-back losses that you mentioned there?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, John. You know, it's not like when you're going through hard times, you're like, you double down on tough, detailed, together. When you're going through good times, you double down on tough, detailed, together. If I was not consistent in my message with that and with the culture, then I wouldn't be doing my job, because culture is about, you know, setting a vision. You know, culture is about, you know, consistently, you know, being able to show what that vision looks like. And culture is about being relentless and living it yourself, you know, being relentless with everything and living it yourself. And so, you know, through the ups, through the downs, because we all want consistency, right? We all want consistency on the field. But most importantly, I think players want consistency from me. I want consistency from them. And we'll double down on the things that, you know, win, lose, you know, draw. We're going to double down on tough, detailed, together, and be relentless with it as we go.
Hey, Nick, good luck versus San Diego versus the Chargers on...
I say that still.
Yeah. All the time.
Not too.
And Ruben, who's the Angels? The California, the Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels?
I coach for the Chargers for 5 years, and four of them I was with San Diego, so I have a little bit more excuse.
California Angels and the... I think it's the Cleveland Indians still, right, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Nick, stay well. Good luck versus the Chargers on Monday night. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Coach. Great luck.
There he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
There he goes, the head coach of the Eagles, formerly coach with the San Diego Chargers, not the Los Angeles Chargers.
Is that funny?
No, I just thought about something, man. And I'm
before you tell that thought, today's show is sponsored by NJM Insurance. Hugh, what are you thinking about?
I just laugh because, you know, what the kids did to Kevin Petullo's house, that was crazy. But
that's not funny.
but for Joe to go out of his way and say, hey, we stand with you. What do you like? Okay, let's be honest.
A little dramatic, you think?
Let's be honest. They egg Joe to Cameron House. What are you gonna do? Joe's about to do nothing.
Joe's not gonna do anything. Yeah.
Do you think the Eagles would stand with Joe to Cameron?
I stand with you.
So if the Cameron's house gets egged, do we have to come on the air the next day and say we stand with the Cameron?
I'm being messy. Okay, I stand with you, Kevin Petullo, because they egged your house.
Sirianni opens his press conference. I stand with Joe DeCamp.
Take my hand.
I just thought it was corny a little bit.
That was a lot.
Hey, Kyle. Yo. I stand with your mustache, and you keeping it.
Whoa.
Now we're getting messy. All right, well, some insurance companies use gimmicks to get your attention. NJM would rather focus on
putting their
policyholders first. No jingles or mascots. Just great insurance. Visit NJM.com to learn more. Yes.
I stand with you in your insurance, Reed.
Thank you, Hugh Douglas. We are a team together, just like the Eagles and WIP. 215-592.
No one needs a break.
I know.
Hey, I stand with you guys. I just want to let you know I stand with
you. So this is twice now that we've really needed a break. Once after I scream myself into a sweat at 10:30.
Yeah, to be clear, for people who don't know, we were about 10 minutes late for break.
Yeah,
I stand with us being
it was most it was mostly my fault. I took us 4 minutes past the break by myself. I handed it to you, and then you took us 4 more minutes. So
I didn't know.
Yeah, that, but you were cooking. Yeah.
Normally you do the break sign.
I know. You know what? I was sweating too much. I just let you go. I needed the break more than anyone else. I'm sure the audience did too. All right, 215-592-9494.
Eventually, I was like, "All right, guys.
Yeah, that's enough. All right. I'm curious. I admit it. I'm curious what the offense would look like if Tanner McKee was the quarterback. Have you had the same thought? I have. Kyle has. I think Hugh has.
Deep down, he's curious.
Yeah, deep down, Douglas is curious. We know it. Ross Tucker joins us next. And back to all your phone calls, including CombiCon on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The NBA season is here, and I stand with Fanatics Sportsbook, and is already running plays straight out of the championship playbook. Here's the deal, people. You guys have heard me talk about fan cash. Remember, every time you bet with Fanatics Sportsbook, you're earning up to 10% fan cash, win or lose. So that if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash. Fan cash unlocks real value. You can flip it on authentic NBA gear, game tickets, and access exclusive Fanatic events with NBA legends. But that's not their only play, folks, because as the listeners know, where other sportsbook let injuries box you out, Fanatics Fair Play protects all bets and first-half injury across pro football and pro basketball. So if a player goes out with injury, boom, Fanatics Sportsbook keeps you in the play. Make the switch and get more with ways to win. Fanatics Sportsbook, winning hits.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Wait a minute. Why? Why are we doing this?
It's a good song. Man, must be an excuse
have
to play.
Have you ever seen it outside?
You ever seen this video?
I don't. If I have, it's been a long time ago. It's not sticking out in my mind. Should I search it?
It's a lot of women.
Yeah.
Like a lot of women.
I thought it was
singing.
Raining men. No.
I mean, but it's a lot of women. I mean, she's
oh, a lot
she's
of
robust,
men. Singular. Okay.
Well, she's a robust lady.
Was the Weather Girls? Is that the name of
the Weather Girl.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I see what you're talking about.
I
can't lie. It's a good song. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls coming up in just a few minutes, as it is a safe space on the Midday Show. Joining us right now to talk about all the Eagles issues, how we fix this, and where this season is headed, our guy Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. Ross, how are we doing?
I am doing very well, fellas. How about yourself?
We are over here recklessly speculating about what's wrong with the Eagles, so we're going to throw you in this, Ross. When you look at this team, and I know it's not one thing, but what do you think is the easiest fix for this football team?
Ooh, I think that there's two that jump to mind right away. One would be the penalties. Maybe three, actually. Three things that I think would go a long way towards being the difference in the outcome of these games. One would be the penalties, which I don't know if that's really a quick fix or an easy fix, because they've obviously been saying, hey, let's stop with the penalties, and it's still not happening. Which, by the way, the pre-snap penalty thing, that like blows my mind away, because they don't even have that many like shifts or motions in their offense. This isn't like the Rams or the Niners or some of these teams where they have all kinds of pre-snap motion and shifts. There's really no reason for the Eagles to be having as many of the pre-snap penalties as they're having. But that's answer number one. Answer number two is just to not turn it over. You know, I mean, they win probably these last two games if they just don't turn it over. Now, maybe that's easier said than done, but the Saquon fumble, Xavier Gibson fumble, they win that game probably without those. And then the Hurts pick and certainly the Hurts fumble, they probably win that game. And we're probably singing a different tune. That's number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three, which is really interesting, which I guess I haven't actually seen the reports. I've just seen you guys talking about it, which is to run Hurts more, which is always a good solution. But now I guess who reported that and what did they say?
So Jeff McClain on his podcast Uncovering the Birds said he had heard back from the summertime that Hurts had expressed interest in running less. I'm paraphrasing, but the idea of running less this season. So that started then. And then Jimmy Kemsky this weekend after the game in one of his stories post the Bears game reported something similar that Hurts had expressed not wanting to run as much. And that's part of why we're seeing less of that.
Well, that's interesting. Because two things on that. One is it still feels like he wants to win badly enough that when it comes to winning time, they need to do that. You know, they need to have him run in those certain situations late in games. I would like to see them do it a couple times earlier in the game to try to help the blocking angles for Saquon. And then certainly in the playoffs. The second part of that is I think if that's really what was said, I think that that invites a healthy discussion as to just how good Jalen Hurts is if he didn't run it at all. You know, I think there was a lot of the conversation in the offseason, is he the fifth best quarterback or the sixth or seventh or whatever, you know, wherever everybody was ranking him. And he's certainly in my mind, you know, a top 10 guy or at least was, whatever. But a lot of times when I'm arguing about Jalen with people or discussing Jalen with people, one of the major, you know, positives for him is his running and the impact that that has on the running game and the passing game and how that opens things up. So if he's running significantly less and it's not as big of a part of his game, then that hurts my argument. You know, when I go on other shows or in other cities and they're like, oh, Hurts really isn't that good. I'm like, well, you guys don't understand, you know, part of the reason why Saquon has such huge holes and they run is because of Hurts' threat in the running game, blah, 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 blah. If he's not the same threat in the running game, then I don't have that to say when I go on, you know, radio shows in other cities.
Ross, speaking of Jalen, last month or so, the numbers are pretty stark and starkly, yeah, they're poor. Now, three of those games were in bad weather, which is, we got to bring up, and it's fair. How would you assess the way he's throwing the ball right now? It feels to me that the legs part of it is a big part, and I agree with you. Feels to me like he's not as accurate as we've seen him in the past. I mean, I think he's very accurate, but it feels to me like he has been less accurate with his passes, even the completed ones over the past few weeks. What are you noticing just for him as a thrower the last month or so?
I think that's probably fair. I'm trying to think about the games. If you think about Lions, Packers,
Cowboys, and Bears.
Now, it felt like Cowboys in the first half, he felt like he was pretty on in the first half of that game. I'm trying to go back and remember, but it felt like the passing game and in rhythm and some of those throws, maybe the one to Devontae wasn't great. But I think that's fair, Joe. I don't think he has been as accurate as he was previously or needs to be. I think you nailed it. It's not always whether it's a completion or not. A lot of times it is ball placement and whether or not he's putting the ball in a good place for the guy to be able to get yards after catch. Feels like it's been a pretty bad year. You know, I'm sure those stats are somewhere, but it feels like it's been a pretty bad year for yards after catch.
They're down. Yeah, I can look it up, but it does. I feel it too just watching. It feels like they have less like catch and run, and they're super big plays there. Ross, let's go to the other side of the ball for Friday's game in particular. I'm trying to unpack what the Eagles' defense is, because I feel like I have a grasp on the offense. It's not great. We hope it gets better. But, Ross, part of me is starting to wonder if I was fooled, if we were fooled. So the defense first couple months of the season had some moments, but it clearly was a drop down from last year. And then they had that month stretch. They play the Vikings, and they beat up Carson Wentz, and then they take a pick six back. They play the Giants here, dominate the game. Bye week, they add Jalen Phillips, and they play those two weather games against the Lions and Packers, and they dominate. And what I started saying, they're back, right? It's Fangio's figured it out, and they're back to being a defense that could carry them. And then they go to Dallas, and they struggle in the last three quarters. And then we saw what happened to the Bears. Ross, when you add it all together, how good is this defense? What happened on Friday? Was that just they're breaking because they're on the field too much, or did I get fooled by a good four-game stretch?
It's a terrific question. I still think they are a really good defense. But, I mean, Ben Johnson, the Bears had him in a blender, man.
Mm.
You know, you watch that tape. First of all, Ben Johnson did an outstanding job with some of the concepts. You talk about motion and false keys, and I'm not sure, Hugh, if you go back and watch it, I'm not sure what Jalen Phillips is doing on some of those. They must have told him to hang for the quarterback or to be ready for jet sweep coming the other way. But they were really just cutting it back to the backside C-gap a number of times, and there was nobody there. It was like they figured out if they ran certain motions or certain false keys. It felt like, Joe, they got them schematically. Now, I will say they were getting pushed around at times also, and there were some double teams that were displacing those guys, knocking them back. I'm not here to say it was a good game for the D-line, because it wasn't, or the entire front seven, because it wasn't. But some of those holes, you can't get those holes unless there's a schematic advantage. In other words, like, let's say we have really good blocks up front and we're knocking the D-line back a little bit. It's still not a 5-yard wide hole, Joe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like these are big human beings. It's still not that big. It felt like Ben Johnson. Listen, I think Fangio's fantastic. I don't know if anybody that's come on this station and praised Fangio more than me. I love everything about him. I think he's hilarious. Tells it like it is. He gave a lot of praise to Ben Johnson during the week before the game, and rightfully so, because it did feel to me like Ben Johnson kind of had Fangio and the Eagles defense a little bit of a blunder on Friday.
It did, yeah, and the job he's doing, it kind of reminds me of Sean McVay's first year with the Rams. I mean, a complete turnaround, and that team, they're a number one seed right now in the NFC. It's wild to watch. All right, Ross, let's look forward to a couple things. Let's start with this. Let's start with Thursday night. It's a game I'm going to be fully locked into, the Cowboys and the Lions, because coincided with the Eagles struggling, the Cowboys are rising, and now we have ourselves a race here. And I feel like this is the biggest leverage game the Cowboys might have left on their schedule. If they win this one, I don't know how many more they're going to lose here, Ross, which puts the onus on the Eagles to then start winning a lot. What do you think of this game Thursday night, the Cowboys and the Lions?
Well, I'm going to be there. I'll be calling the game for Westwood One out there in Detroit. And so I think that'll be on WIP. So if people are driving around Thursday night, they should be able to listen to it here on the station. So, Joe, I'll do everything I can to try to bring back a win for the Lions.
Okay, good. That's what we're sending you there for.
No, I mean, you know, it's so funny because you always say it's not necessarily when you play team or who you play, it's when you play them. Lions are in a bad way right now. I highly doubt Amon-Ra St. Brown plays. He sprained his ankle against the Packers on Thanksgiving. Then Terry and Arnold, their top corner, they just put on IR with a shoulder surgery. The Lions are really beat up. I think the good news is they still have a pretty good team, and they realize this is kind of their last dance at it. I mean, if you look at the wild cards right now, 9-win Seattle, 9-win San Francisco, 8-win Green Bay, including having swept the Lions, and they're 8-3-1 because of that tie against the Cowboys. So the Lions know it's kind of do or die. They pretty much have to win this game But listen, I already recorded the Even Money Betting Podcast today. I'm a little surprised that the Cowboys are the underdogs by 3 points. I'll be taking the Cowboys in this game. They are playing very, very well. And you know why? More than anything else, they're beating people up front. They got three awesome D tackles right now in Odighizuwa, Kenny Clark, as well as Quinnen Williams. And then their O-line, those two young guards they have, the Tylers, Tyler Smith, Tyler Booker, they are pushing people around. Unfortunately, Joe, I would lean towards the Cowboys winning the game. Hopefully for all of us that have any involvement with the Eagles, that's not the case.
All right, Ross, let's look forward to the next Eagles game Monday night, which if Dallas wins like you're predicting, that puts more pressure on the Eagles to get a victory Monday night against the Chargers. Your assessment on the Chargers, what kind of matchup this is, and how big of a drop-off? We know it's a drop-off, but how big if Herbert is out and Trey Lance has to play?
Well, that's massive, although I will say Trey Lance looked really good in the preseason. Now, I know people say, oh, who cares about the preseason? The thing is, he never looked good in the preseason anywhere else. He didn't look good in the preseason in San Francisco, didn't look good in the preseason in Dallas. They really just kept him because he's the number three overall pick. He looked legitimately good for the Chargers to the point where they felt comfortable getting rid of their other backup quarterback options. I think it was like Heinicke they traded because they felt really good about Trey Lance, and he can run, which gives the Eagles problems at times. I'd be stunned, though, Joe, if Herbert doesn't play. I mean, you want to talk about something? I don't know how many people even realize this. The guy broke his hand. He went in and got it x-rayed, confirmed it was broken, got a splint, ran back out there. Trey Lance didn't even get a full series. He came in during the series when Trey Lance was out there. Love, love, love Herbert. But that is annoying to play with that. It probably limits his running. And their offensive tackles are not good. This is a game where the Eagles need Jalen Phillips, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt to totally dominate off the edge to get pressure on Herbert. You can get him to turn it over, and they cannot get run over. You know, the Chargers just ran for 200-some yards, I think, against the Raiders. So what do you think Greg Roman and the Chargers are going to try to do to the Eagles after watching the Bears tape? This will be a big guy's game. This will be a man's game on Monday night.
Man whoop a man.
Where the Eagles D-line needs to step up.
Great stuff. Ross, we appreciate hopping on as always. Have a safe trip to Detroit. We'll be listening, and we'll catch up next week.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL. Big man's game Monday. Hear that?
Man whooping man.
Yeah, he saw the same thing you and I did, specifically the way you viewed it, was Jalen Phillips. The only way I could describe what I saw when the receiver was blocking him and he was backing up, and maybe he was told, like Ross saying, he would have responsibility in case the quarterback leaks out. It just felt like he didn't want that smoke on Friday.
And listen, as a former defensive end, you supposed to ragdoll that fool. Like, you supposed to use him as a tackling dummy. You supposed to grab him by his shoulder pads and throw him all around the place.
When I saw the receiver running him to block, I'm like, oh, he's going to take him on. He just kind of backed up.
Yeah, but no, you hold the point. Like, you hold the point of attack. Like, if you have to, you put him in the hole and you keep your outside leverage. He was running underneath blocks. He was losing outside
contain. Not his best day.
It was not. He looked like Hassan Reddick when Hassan Reddick was trying to get sacks.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah. All right, 215-592-9490. Let's get back to the phone lines here. A lot to discuss. And, you know, we're having a discussion today. And this is a safe space. The Midday Show always is a safe space. Now, I say that, and I did yell at Mark earlier, which
you
I apologize
did.
Mark, for.
Mark, we didn't mean to yell at you, but it was just
I deserved it.
Yeah. Other than Mark, it's a safe space for everyone to have their take on this. Have you thought about
we're
it?
We're all curious.
Have you wondered? It's okay to be curious. Have you wondered what the offense would look like if Tanner McKee was under center?
Okay to be curious.
It is
only natural.
It is okay. Let's go to
Man, that scared me. I thought my phone went off. I was like, wait a minute.
You think Jay in West Philly's curious? Let's find out. Jay in West Philly, what's up?
Song.
Playing their soul.
Song is crazy.
It's a good song.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sing it, Jay.
Old Jillio, kiss a deaf Jillio.
You got it.
You sit there, once you said the division was won,
mm-hmm.
4 weeks ago you was hollering about Jalen passing good, it's a passing team. Near the MVP votes. Now you want to replace him?
Well, I've thought about it.
What did you think about it for?
Well, because because the offense stinks.
Doing that reckless speculation.
I mean, Jay, you ever do thinking? You ever think about things?
What's going to happen if McKee get in there?
Well, could it be worse?
I mean, is the penalties going to stop? The false starts?
No, could they score less points?
The false starts by the slot receiver going to stop?
Do you think they'd score less points?
Is Tanner McKee going to tackle DeAndre Swift?
Mm. Well, he doesn't play. Jalen Hurts didn't tackle anyone either.
We're talking about the offense. Don't either, but you blaming him for everything.
No, I didn't blame him for everything.
He ran the wrong way, right? Mm-hmm.
So you have you thought about it or not? So have you thought about Tanner McKee or not?
Why would I think about it? For what? Why would I do that? I'm just coming off a Super Bowl victory.
Just coming off a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, 8-14.
Oh, no,
place.
Jay, don't do that. Don't do the 8-4 thing.
Do it, Jay. Do it, Jay. Do it, Jay. Do it,
Jay. We can't. That's,
I'm telling you.
You can't do that.
You ungrateful, Jillio. That's what you is.
That's what it is. You're ungrateful.
You know what you're.
You were just at the parade.
Are
you grateful for the last four games? 59.1% completion, 6.6 yards in attempt, 86 passer rating, 3 fumbles, and a pick.
The defense was back. And you thought the defense was back playing against Jared Goff?
I don't understand.
You thought the defense was back to number one playing against Goff? The same cold weather that we played in, they played in. So what you think they would have did if it was warm weather? But that's all Jalen's fault, right? You going to put McKee in there, it's going to change everything?
Do you think they'd be worse? You haven't answered that.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be worse.
Why?
Yeah, they're going to be worse. What's going to change? Is that going to stop Mike Alada from holding?
Mike Alada.
That's going to stop all the false starts?
No, but you know what? It might lead to the ball getting out faster. It might lead to more accurate passes.
Back?
Yeah, it might not. You know, it might be better.
Is that going to help the center with the bad back? Accurate passes. Mm-hmm. Didn't Smitty run the wrong route on that hot read?
Why are we assuming?
We don't know. The verdict is still out on that.
Why are we assuming Devontae was wrong and not Jalen?
Because you heard Kurt Warner say he's supposed to sit down. He's supposed to go out and take the out on that.
Is Kurt Warner
in the hot read? He threw the ball and he ran the wrong way.
I have a question: Is Kurt Warner right? Is Kurt Warner in the Eagles huddle?
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. If you wanted this to be your point, you would have brought him on. Kurt Warner said this. Kurt Warner said that.
I'd love to have Kurt on, but Kurt's not in the huddle. But bottom line is this, Jay: should that have been completed?
Answer that question: is it going to stop AJ Brown from quitting on routes?
Maybe. Actually, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like the quarterback.
Oh, maybe.
When Tanner got in there last year, he threw a touchdown to AJ right away against the Cowboys.
Definitely curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, of course I'm curious.
Against the Cowboys, right? Against the Cowboys.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, against the Cowboys, right? wasn't a playoff team. I forgot. Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Last year it was over.
Jay, do you have the eye of the tiger?
Jay has no eye of the tiger. Jay,
there you go with that eye of the tiger.
Well, you don't have it anymore, Jay. Jay, you've lost your eye of the tiger, Jay.
Man, ain't nobody running behind
I miss the. You know what I miss? I miss the old Jay in West Philly.
Ain't nobody running behind that frog.
Whoa.
Yeah, now we're calling Rocky a frog. Jay.
Rocky.
Jay, I'm disappointed, Jay.
Rocky had a
frog. Why? Because he a frog? Because this city been running behind that frog for years? A fake boxer.
I knew you didn't have the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame.
You're running behind that frog.
Well, I think he's from New Jersey. I think the real guy was the Bayonne brawler, Jay. Jay, what do you got? Jay,
look, and he stole that.
Whoa, he's a winner.
Yeah, champion. Champion. Took down Apollo. Took down Apollo and Rocky too. All right, Jay, what do you got for us? What is your someone that replaced someone else?
How about if we get Sean Bell or somebody to replace you in a couple of games?
I knew he was going to do how something about like that.
Well, so Jay, I appreciate your humor. Jay, I appreciate your humor.
Ratings. Here's that's a replace you with Sean Bell.
Jay, I appreciate your humor.
There's too many black folks on
there. Jay.
They don't want that.
I was kidding, man. Jay, I was uncomfortable for everybody. I apologize for that. I shouldn't have did that.
Ricky Schroeder came down here and took Ike's show from him.
You're gonna get in trouble.
I made it uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that.
Jay, appreciate your phone call. See, here's the problem. Jay's humor was fine, but we're talking about someone that replaced someone, not that someone you wish replaced.
Jay.
Doesn't count. I'm sorry.
You got me in trouble with that with Jay.
Well, you got yourself in trouble. I mean, that was all on you.
I shouldn't have said
that. I mean, that's...
I thought it was funny, though. Well, sometimes I...
We're all laughing. Drew.
I already got in trouble.
Yeah, so did Jay bring anything useful to the table?
No, he never does.
Never. Like,
no.
What was useful?
He crushed
Rocky.
Yeah, called Rocky a fraud.
Which is just...
Rocky had a rough week, though.
Rocky had a rough week? What happened to Sly?
We don't get political on this show.
I missed this.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I got to search this.
Interesting.
This is that. All right, let me search this. Drew and West. I'm going to search this while we talk to Drew. Drew and West, Jess. What did Sly do? Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Drew.
As I explained to Kyle, man, honestly, the scout's honor, I have not entertained or thought about I have not thought about Tanner McKee at all whatsoever. Okay. First of all, let's not get too excited. I mean, Tanner McKee, yes, that seems like a good guy and all that. He's performed well in his little moments. You know, he was at Stanford, right? 2 years a starter, 23 touchdowns, 15 picks against whoever he was throwing against.
Yep.
Let's not get all excited about Tanner McKee in the NFL. Okay. Let's not get all excited. Right. And Joe, honestly, give me an honest answer to this question. And you can chime in too. If I had told you before the season, if I had given you the Eagles statistics, the running game stats through 12 games, mm-hmm. and then I asked you, what do you think Jalen's numbers look like this year? How is he doing? How do you think he's doing? How is he performing compared to past seasons? What would you have said?
Are you asking me to recklessly speculate, or are you talking about now in the moment?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you had known how bad the running game was going to be this year, how anemic it is, as hard as that would have been to believe at the time, mm-hmm. if I told you before the season this is what the running game was going to look like, what would you have speculated that Jalen Hurts' stat line would look like this year?
So this is what I would like to happen, Drew. I would have loved for Jalen to be more of a passing quarterback. Like the numbers, you know, like maybe 200 or 300 yards a game. Because that was like, and the only reason I'm saying that is because at the beginning of the season, outside of the first game that we played in, that's kind of what you saw that first weekend was everybody throwing the ball over the schoolyard.
Drew, I probably would have guessed it would have been not great considering the circumstances. Yeah,
exactly. So
you're talking about, what do you mean? About as far as like what?
Well, if we couldn't block and we couldn't run, I'm not going to expect Jalen to be great.
Yeah, I mean,
why not?
Because he's not great.
I mean, what I'm saying is, if you knew going into the year that the running game was going to be no threat whatsoever to defenses, you really think that Jalen would it be easy for him to have great success throwing the ball?
I would say I think that with Jalen winning the Super Bowl and playing the last game that I saw him in throwing the football. My point is, I think that he would have been better because he got better, because he looked better. Because the reason why I say that, Drew, is he threw the ball probably the best that we've seen him throw it in that situation. So for me, I was thinking that that was going to carry over. So that's
okay,
what that's
yeah,
why
but,
I'm
I mean
there.
Yeah, but my problem is that was last year's team around him, and this year's team around him is not in the same stratosphere.
It's not.
But here's
not.
The reason. Let me cut you off, Drew, but let me tell you why I believe that. Because I believe what Jalen tells me. I believe when Jalen talks about the main thing is the main thing, that he means that. I believe that when Jalen talks about getting better, that's what he does. But unfortunately, this year, for whatever reason, he has not progressed.
Mm-mm.
He hasn't. And I don't know, and to your point, that might be the running game. That might be the blocking. But he hasn't gotten better, for whatever reason that is.
Yeah, and so look, my takeaway from this season is that there are some strong winds blowing in the face of Jalen Hurts this year that haven't been there before. Whether you want to talk about the coaching with him, the OC being another neophyte who's never done it, the offensive line not able to block for the running game so that the running game is not a threat to defenses, whatever you want to call it, I feel my takeaway is that there's lots of winds blowing in his face, and yet he's still producing numbers, 19 TDs. He's going to have more touchdowns than he's had in any season he's had.
Drew, last thing I want to say, and I want to say this in a way that I don't want to poo-poo 19-2. If you look at almost every other number, the closest season to this year is 2021. I think the touchdown interception ratio is masking everything else. His success rate is down. His completion percentage is down. His yards per attempt are down. I think we've become so conservative, he has, that touchdown number and interception number makes it look better than it is. This is the worst I've seen him play in a long time.
Okay, well, look, that everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I'm telling you, watching the games and the plays that are called and the patterns that are run, I mean, I am so sick of seeing out passes to, like, Devontae or Goddard at the sideline for a 2-yard gain where they have nowhere to run anyway. They can't. There's not even any room for them to make someone miss because the ball is thrown to them when they're about to step out of bounds.
Well,
What is the point of that?
That's
dragging down the average yards per attempt.
Sure. It,
ridiculously, and they've got to stop that nonsense.
But
I also
think he's inaccurate, and it's dragging down yards after catch. There was a play last week where AJ could have caught the ball and ran, and he waited, threw it him. He fell down, and there's nothing after it. So I think it's all in there. All right, Drew, what do you got for us? For one guy that replaced someone else or something that replaced something else.
Yeah, but please don't compare him to Aaron Rodgers, who's no running threat at all. And like, he's just, it just don't. He's a washed quarterback.
Yeah, he stinks. We know Rodgers stinks.
Yeah, so my replacement is Bernie Perrant replaced Doug Favell and got us 2 back-to-back cups.
Bernie Perrant's a big one, Drew.
Yeah,
that's a big one. And
super huge.
I like that one. All right, 215-592-9494 for the hop in. Also on the other side, it's time for Kiss the Baby here. Our toughest one to date, I believe. This is starting to get hard now. All right, contest line number 215-988-1258. 215-988-1258. Caller number one gets in the mix for a prize in the season. Plus, Hugh might tell us, his old coach, to calm down here. You got to hear this on the audio from Andy Reid. All next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back. and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.